don't know about you guys, but I like that music. Anybody? I like that. We're in a battle. We're in a war. You know, we really are. And my challenge is, this is the last in that series of messages of Change Your World in 52 Days, because I really believe you can change your world. I believe your little lifespan, that little circle that you have, that little situation that you find yourself in, that circumstances that you're living in, that life that you're living, that if you don't like it, you can change it. That you can change your life. You can change your world. I really believe that. And I've been laying that out for these last few weeks. And we're at the last of the series in this series of messages. But I set this message series up because the key to changing your life is coming up next week, all right? Anybody know what next week is? Anybody know what next Sunday is? Anybody got an idea? Huh? Oh, Easter. All right. Easter. Easter can change everything in your life, all right? The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ changes everything. And so we're going to look at that as I look at that. So even though this series of messages was only 5 messages, 35 days, that you can change your world in 52 days, because Easter's part of it, all right? Do you get the picture of what I'm trying to paint for you? Because I want you to know you can change your world and that you don't have to live this life, but it's hard. And that's why this last, if you look at the series of messages, it's called Finishing Strong, because it's hard. It's hard to change our lives. It's even hard to live today. And we've been looking at this, and I wanted to challenge you. And so what we did is we took the book of Nehemiah, and we just kind of stepped through like the first 6 chapters of Nehemiah. We're in chapter 6, and we just kind of stepped through and see how Nehemiah, if you remember, Nehemiah was over in Babylon. His brother had came over. He was a Jew in slavery, just an ordinary cupbearer, kind of a butler in to the king. And he was just kind of taking care of things for the king, food taster. Nice, easy job, getting to eat the quality food. As long as it's not poisoned, it sounds pretty good. You know, so he's getting to eat the king's food and test the food. And his brother comes back over from Jerusalem and says, "Hey, man, it's a mess over there. You know, yeah, they've got kind of a temple kind of going back up. It looks okay. It's not like it was in the glory days. But it looks good over there. And, you know, during Solomon's time, had this beautiful temple. But it's not like that anymore. And the walls are all caved in around the city. And it's just all messed up." And so he gets a burden for the city. And he gets a burden that something needs to be done. And remember how we started this series? Someone's got to do something, and it might as well be me. Things have got to change. My life has got to change. My situation has to change. My circumstances have to change. This has to change, and somebody's got to do something. Let me tell you, it's got to be you. Nobody can change your life. Nobody can change your circumstances. Nobody can change your situations but you. And Nehemiah had this burning in his heart and this burning in it, and it made him sit down and cry, and he wanted to do something. And so he got together and he went 1,000 miles from the luxury of a king's palace to the ruins of Jerusalem. He went 1,000 miles to rebuild those walls. And when he got there to rebuild the walls, not everybody was excited. Not everybody was thrilled to see him. They liked everything in a mess. They were ruling. They were having a great time. And we looked at last week how sometimes those around us can be very discouraging. That as we live our lives, we got some around, we want to change our lives. We want to do something different. We want to experience something different. And somebody has some discouraging words. Somebody says something that doesn't inspire us. And it's kind of like, man, can I ever change? Can I ever get ahead? Can life be different? You ever anybody tell you, just suck it up. That's just your life. You ever anybody tell you something like that? That's just your life. Suck it up. Get used to it. Life's not fair. You know, that's not how life is. And so we've been talking. I want to be sharing with you. And so today we're going to kind of look at it from this perspective. Nehemiah has worked. He's struggled. They have built these walls. He's organized all these people. And they are almost done. I want you to look at the scripture. Get your little outline out. You can follow along. The scriptures are there. It's Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. And it kind of sets the tone. "Now when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies." Now, I want to make sure you notice that. It said the rest of our enemies. It wasn't just 3 guys. It was a bunch of people that were after him. They were all enemies. Heard that I had built the wall, and there was no breach left in it. Although up to that point, I had not set up the gates, the doors in the gate. Now, these were bad guys. He mentions three, but there's like an army of bad guys. There's an army of those that are against him. There's numerous people that are challenging him when he wants to change things, when he wants things different. My life's not happy. It's not what I like. I can do better than this. How come? And these guys are just riding his case. And he's worked on this for 52 days. He's right there. All he's got to do is put the doors on. Put the doors on. And these guys have not given up attacking him. You ever feel like that? You know, you're getting ahead, you're moving forward, things are going well, you're almost done, and then somebody throws cold water on you. Anybody been in there? You're working on your life, you're working to make things different, you're working to do something, and you're just about there, and somebody just pops your bubble. Anybody had their bubble pop? Anybody have, you know, your life, you get it all set up, and you're really getting excited. We're almost there, we're almost there, we're almost there, and then something happens. And so I want to see they're not quite finished. I put it this way. I like this statement right here. It says, the closer you get to doing what God wants done, the harder your enemy will fight to stop you. Did you get that? The closer you get, the harder he starts. It doesn't like, well, they're almost there, I give up. They're going to make it, so forget it. Yeah. All they got to do is set the doors. Let's leave him alone now. They did not stop attacking. They kept coming after him. And I think we've all been in those kind of situations and those kind of circumstances. So what do you do when your enemies attack? What do you do when you're making those changes in your life and things are getting better and you're almost there and it's just right there? You've decided that, you know what? I'm going to get in a home group. I'm going to join one of the home groups. You know, we have these during the week, and I know I need to get in one, and I'm going to go to this one. And so you're getting ready to go. You pack your kids up. You get in the car. You start driving down the road, and the kid pukes everywhere. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody raised more than one kid? Anybody? Anybody had more than one kid? You ever get the one kid all ready, and you get ready to go to church? You get the kid all ready to go to church. I'm going to leave family spiritually. We're going to go to church. And you get the one already, and you get this one. You say, okay, now you go over there and you just behave. Don't mess up. Don't get dirty. And you go over and start getting the other one dressed and getting the other one ready. And he did exactly what you said, right? Why'd you guys laugh? Because they went over there and made a mess. They ate that chocolate candy bar. Right? Come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about. You ever, I'm going to take this and I'm going to do the spiritual thing and, you know, I'm going to lose weight. I've been trying to lose weight again. You know, I lost that 20 pounds, but I put 15 of it back on. You know, so I'm going to lose weight, and I'm going to try to lose weight. But this is not a good time to lose weight. Walmart has jelly beans for $1 a bag. All right, it's not a good time for me to lose weight. You know. Anybody ever fights those battles? I want to change my life. I want something different. And you're moving that way, you know. I've lost that 15 pounds. I got to that last 5 pounds. And now it's Easter time and there's jelly beans. Yeah. How do we fight these battles? What do we do? You know, I want to change my life. I want to change my family. Satan never gives up. Our enemy always looks to attack. And you know what's amazing about Satan? He knows our weak points. He knows right where to go to attack us. He doesn't go at our strong points. He finds that little crevice right in there that he can just kind of wiggle right in there and say, didn't I tell you, you know, you're not good enough. You don't know enough. Who do you think you are? And I want to look at two of the tools he uses. You know, last week we kind of looked at how he uses discouragement. That Satan tries to discourage us. Today I want to look at two other things that I see that happened to Nehemiah that I think happens to all of us as we try to live better lives, as we try to follow God, especially when you want to do something God wants. You know, when you step out for what God wants, Satan's like, okay, this is it. I got to really get busy now because he doesn't want you to do what God wants. And so I put down two things here as I looked at this of his strategies. If you're looking at your outline, I put it this way. Your enemy will try to distract you. He wants to get you off. He wants to get you doing something else. He wants to get your attention somewhere else. Look at what the scripture says here. You got Sambalot again. You know, this guy played a key role, really used by the devil, by evil, by Satan. And Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together at Hekapiram. I don't get that one, okay? In the plain of, oh no, I got that one. But they intended to do me harm. He's saying, look, these guys got together, these enemies, right? Would you guys agree these are enemies? Anybody? Anybody on board there? These are the enemies. These are not the nice guys. These are the guys trying to get him to mess up. And they're going, listen, take a break. You've worked hard. You're almost done. You're almost there. You need a break. You need some rest. Why don't you come over here and let's sit down and talk about this for a little while? You see the picture? You ever get that when, you know, you're trying to do what God wants, you're trying to do what spiritual thing, you're trying to change that life, you're wanting to do better, you're wanting to be something special. And as you're getting near the end, it's just like, you need a break. You need to get some rest. And see, Satan tries to distract him, trying to get his attention off what he needs to do. And it's usually not the big things that he tries with. It's those little things. You know, it used to be the little TV. Now it's those, what, 80-inch TVs? Can TV be distracting? You know, you want to do what God wants, but, you know, baseball. Aren't the Giants playing today? Oh, see, somebody knows. You know, there's TV and there's stuff on TV. You know, right now the Masters is going. You know, the golf game. Anybody? Come on. Anybody watch Masters? That's a beautiful country back there in Georgia. You know? And they're playing golf. You know? Or how about the computer? Can the computer be distracting? Anybody? Besides me? Yeah. I do these surveys. How much time do you spend on the computer? A week? 16 plus hours. But a lot of that is work, all right? I'm not playing. I don't have much. I don't know how long ago since I played a game on my computer. Even that. You know what? Businesses have trouble with their games? Guess what game they have all the time? Anybody? You ever go by business and they're playing what on their computers? Solitaire. Come on, some of you guys. You ever watch the lady with her phone? I love the one. I was going to get the video and I should have got the DVD off that. I should have got the video off YouTube. How about cell phones? Can cell phones be distracting? I love the one of the girl at the mall. She's walking down the mall. Right in the fountain. Anybody seen that video? Yeah. It even gets tragic. You need to know, two people, just this week, I read in the newspaper, two people were killed by trains this week. One of them, walking, playing with his phone, listening to whatever's on his phone, walked in the train. He's there. He's gone. There was a lady walking down the train tracks, and she's just walking between the... I don't get this one. You got these two iron bars running here. It's kind of like, I think something's going to happen here. Yeah. And she got hit by a train. Had her earbuds, and they think her music was too loud, so she couldn't hear the train. He said he was blowing the whistle. We get distracted. These things distract us. You know? Anybody? I'm sure. Now, you guys, Facebook. Anybody play with Facebook? Anybody get distracted with Facebook? You know, you just get facing back, you know, posting all these things, and you get... Yeah. Well, I'm only going to spend 15 minutes, 2 hours later. Come on now. I see some of your guys' posts. Yeah. See, Satan tries to distract us. You know, I can't spend 15 minutes reading God's word, but I can spend an hour playing with Facebook. Am I meddling now? Yeah. Text messaging. One of the other questions, a lot of times on the surveys I take, I get points for taking a survey. You need to. I belong to this Gallup poll thing, and I take these surveys because they give me money, all right? And I take that money, and I buy things at Amazon is what they do. You give me points, and you buy these points, and you get stuff, and that's how I buy some stuff. And one of the other questions they ask on there all the time is, how much texting do you do? Another one they ask is, what games do you play on your phone? Anybody got games on their phone? Anybody? All right, I see some of you are being honest here in church. You're in church. You all got to be honest now. Come on. If you got a cell phone, I know you got games on it because it came with games. So don't sit there like, I don't have any games. Yeah. The only question is, do you play them? That's the only question I should be asking. It's easy to get distracted. We're almost there. I'm almost there, God. I'm almost there. You know, I'm going to do. And it's just, there's distractions. And that's what the enemy does. He tries to distract us. He tries to get our attention. And he wants to lead us away. He says, come, let us, this, you know, let's just have a conversation. It's the little things. It's the little things. But not only is it little things, I want to make sure you know, it's also, it could be good things. You know, sometimes he distracts us with good things. It's like, yeah, I need to do this, and I'm doing this great work. But sometimes it's the little things that get us. It's the good things, you know. Sometimes we settle for second best instead of the best. And see, we can get distracted with good things. I need to be doing time in God's Word, and I need to be ministering, and I need to be serving. But you know what? I can't do all of it at once, and I got to balance all of that. And sometimes we settle for not the good things. And so I want to encourage us. What are we going to do? I like what Nehemiah did here. I think he has a really good idea here. Look what he says. I put it this way. I'm not coming down. I'm not stopping. That's what you got to say. You got to say, I'm not coming down. I'm not stopping. Look at what he says here in the scripture. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together at Hekpa in the plain of Ono. But they intended to harm me. Just so you know, if you read on down, they wanted to kill him. And I sent a messenger to them saying, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? He's saying, I cannot stop. Why don't you circle that word, stop? I cannot stop. I'm doing a good work. You know what I want to do this morning? You just can't sit there this morning. I want you to say that with me, all right? Can you guys get this? Can you say with me, I'm doing a good work? Can everybody say that? Is anybody here talking? All right. Can we do this together? You guys ready? We're going to say, I'm doing a good work together. You guys ready? I'm doing a good work. All right. You're doing a good work. I want to change my life. I'm going to change my world. I'm going to change my circumstance. I'm going to change my situation. I'm going to change for God's glory. I'm going to serve God. I'm doing a good work. Yeah. Yesterday, we had our VBS clinic. It happened to be somebody's birthday yesterday. And they were having a birthday. They went, you know, but guess where they were? Instead of being somewhere else and having a party all day long, they led the worship team, the music program. I'm talking about Emily over here. She don't want me talking about her, but I don't care. Yeah. But it's her birthday. How many of you, when you got a birthday, you want to take a day off work? Anybody? Come on, it's my birthday. I get a day off work, don't I? You guys are laughing. Can we get distracted by, you know, is a birthday a good thing? I'm glad when I have one. If I don't have one, that's something, there's a problem. It means I'm dead. So I look forward to my birthday. Because the alternative is not real good. Well, absent from the body is present with the Lord, so I guess that's good. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to know this. You're going to have to say, I'm going to change for God's glory. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this good work. I'm doing this great work. And I'm going to stay. I'm going to finish. I'm not going to quit. And I like that little town there. I think that's a good word for us to learn. You see the town? Oh, no. Oh, no. Come down. Let's talk. Oh, no. Let's turn the TV on. Let's watch the football game. Oh, no. Let's FaceTime. Oh, no. Is that a good word? All right. We're going to say, oh, no. You guys ready? I want everybody to say, oh, no. You ready? Oh, no. Now, I want some attitude. You got to have some. You got to say it with attitude. Like you mean it. Can you mean it? You ready? We're going to say, oh, no, together, and you're going to mean it. Ready? Oh, no. All right. I like that. You got to say that. God, I'm doing a good work. Satan will distract you. You're going to say, I'm going to spend 15 minutes every morning to read my Bible. And your alarm's going to go off too late, right? Come on. And you're going to say, oh, no, I'm going to read my Bible. You hear me? I'm going to do God's work. I'm going to follow God. Oh, I work late today, so I can't make it on time to home group. I don't care if you're on time or not. Be at my group. Oh, no, I'm going no matter what. Does that make sense? You know, we want to change our life. We want a different life. We want a better life. We want to serve God as long as it's convenient. Don't distract me. Don't confuse me with the facts. See, I want to challenge us. Satan wants to distract us. He wants to get us off course. And we got to have the courage to say no, even when it's a good thing. Even when it's something that should be and we should be a part of. You know, I serve on lots of committees. I love Salida. My passion, when this church called me, my passion was I wanted a place to plant my life, raise my family, and stay my whole ministry. That's what I prayed for when I came to Salida. And I wanted to make a difference in Salida. So I get on the committees and boards, and I've served on all this kind of stuff. But you know, there are sometimes I've got to say, no, I can't be there for that. They've asked me to join some organizations. And it's like, no, I can't join that. It's a good organization. It does great things. It serves in Salida. But oh no, I can't. Some asked me to do some things beyond Salida and get on some other committees that get bigger than Salida. And it's like, I care about that, but I focus on Salida. I want to turn Salida upside down for God. Did you guys know that? I want my neighbors to know Jesus Christ. I want your neighbors to know Jesus Christ. I want to see this town on fire for God. Some of us have walked this whole town. Who walked around this whole town praying? We walked around every corner of this town praying. There's a good work here. And oh no, I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to go somewhere else. I'm going to stay and fight and finish the course. And I wanted you to see this as he was saying this. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great work. And I look at our church. I look at, you know, and I look around and, you know, you need to know, you guys got a lot of work to do between now and next week. You like this? Now listen to me. You got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of empty chairs. And you got to fill them up. All right? You need to know. You know how many people, I don't care who they are, where they're at. I've been inviting everybody to church. You need to know that. Because this is when they're going to say yes. You need to be inviting. Our church does a lot of good things. I look at our church and I think about this church. You know what we're good at? This church is good at being generous. You look at the finances of this church, and we're really a blessed church. You guys are a very generous church. You know, and I see that. Well, our church is very talented. The worship team, the Vacation Bible School team. You know how the Vacation Bible School team came here yesterday? There's like, there was 1, 2, 3... Four, I think five classes. Isn't there? I think there was five classes, six classes. Out of the six classes, four were led by our church people for Vacation Bible School. There's good things happening here. See, God has been good to us. And it's easy to get distracted and you lose sight of that. So I just want to encourage you. Can you say, oh, no, I'm going to do what God said? Yes, and I'm going to tell you, you'll be right there, right on the edge of finishing, right on the edge of finishing. I go back and I tell people, you know the hardest thing of finishing this church? You know what the hardest thing was that Dan fought the longest and the hardest about? You need to know this. The hardest thing in this church to get approval for at the very end, we're right here. We're ready to come into the church. We were ready to come into the church. It's done. You know the two things that the county and the people were giving us the hardest time about? A kitchen, and landscaping. We're right there. Dan is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, trying to figure out, trying to get them to say, okay. We're right, everything's done. The kitchen, and you can't plant grass. Now, we can buy it and smoke it now, but you can't plant it. I don't know where our government's going, guys. I don't get it. All right? I don't get it. You know? I don't. But, yeah, that was, I mean, we're right here. We're ready to go in. That was the last hurdle. Dan had to spend hours down there that Monday trying to get that permission. We're right there. Whatever you're doing in your life, you're doing it for God. I guarantee you, you're going to get right there, and then there's just going to be. You're going to walk into Walmart, and right at the front door on your right-hand side is the candy aisle with all the jelly beans and everything. Seriously, it is. You walk in the front door, and they got boxes of that stuff. You know, I buy the jelly beans because they're only $1, all right? I do the best I can not to eat them all in one day. 12 ounces in one day, that's good. Yeah. See, I want to challenge us. Don't get distracted. Don't let Satan, don't let the enemy kind of, well, hey, look over here. Well, think about this. Oh, that kid's sick, and this is on TV, and this is on the computer, and this is on, you know, I got a FaceTime and Facebook, and I don't know what is all, what's that? I got to make sure I say Twitter. Is it Twitter? I don't know why I can't get that one right, guys. Yeah. But we get sucked into all these things that distract us. I'm going to tell you, don't let the enemy distract you. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's a good word to learn. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not coming down. I am not stopping. I am not stopping. So that's one, right? The enemy wants to distract you. Nehemiah is right there. The walls are up. It's all set. The enemy's trying to distract. It's just, we just got to put these doors in and we're done. Party time, celebration time. Hey, come here, let's talk. The second thing I put down here is he's going to discredit you. Your enemy will try to discredit you. He wants you to compromise. When you do something for God, you need to understand something. You will be misunderstood. You need to know that. How many have done something? You need to know, anytime you do something, I have these two, I'm trying to figure out how to say this without hurting anybody. Anytime you do something for God, anybody that's been a leader, anybody been a leader in the church, led Vacation Bible School, led a Bible study, led a group, isn't there, anytime you do it, there's always trouble. Anybody? I don't care. I have this rule for me. It goes like this. If you do nothing, you're going to get in trouble because you did nothing. If you do something, you're going to get in trouble because somebody don't like what you did. So no matter what, you're going to be in trouble. So guess what? I have the rule for me. If I'm going to be in trouble, I'm going to be in trouble for something I did. And that's my rule. Because it's just that way. He did something, and now there's misunderstanding, and they're misinterpreting, and they're twisting things around, and they're trying to discredit him. And I think, as I read this, you need to think about this in today's world. Look at what it says here. He's going to do it first by spreading rumors. He's going to spread rumors. He's going to tell stories. He's going to stretch the truth, twist things around. He's going to gossip, you might say. Look at how the scripture says this. The fifth time, I like that. Now, I want you to, the fifth time, Sanballat sent his helper. I want you to know, it wasn't like, well, he's not coming down, let's leave him alone. He's not coming down. He's not coming down. He's not coming down. The fifth time, he kept going after him. I want to make sure you've seen that. He kept going after him. Your enemy will not give up. You need to know that. He wants to tear you down. He will not give up. The fifth time, Sanballat sent his helper to me with the message. And in his hand was an unsealed letter. Circle that, because this is going to be really important. It was an unsealed letter. This is what was written. A report is going around to all the nations, and Gisham says it is true. Now, who was Gisham again? A good guy or a bad guy? Bad guy, right? Come on. Bad guy, all right? He says it's true that you and the Jewish people are planning to turn against the king. And that you are rebuilding the wall. You're going to cause a riot. You're going to cause an insurrection. You're going to cause a coup, is what he's saying. They say you're going to be their king and that you have appointed prophets to announce in Jerusalem. There is a king of Judah. The king will hear about this. So come, let us discuss this together. Do you get the picture? He's saying he sent an unsealed letter. Now, when it's unsealed, what does that mean? Who can read it? Anybody, everybody can read it. He sent an unsealed letter that everybody can read, and your other enemy saying it's true that you're trying to cause a coup. Now, let me put it in today's terms. You're doing something for God, and you're serving God. You're trying hard. You're almost there, and somebody posts a blog about you. That's a lie. Anybody? Anybody ever been blogged about a lie? Anybody do anything on Facebook on you that's a lie? Anybody? Come on. The world hasn't changed, has it? This is what this guy's doing. He's trying to discredit. He's spreading these rumors. And today, you read the blogs or you read these Facebook comments, and I read some of these things going, I can't believe they wrote that. Anybody? Anybody? You read there and you're going, you got to be kidding me. That's today's open letter, all right? That's why I think that open letter is really important. He's gossiping. He's spreading rumors. He's trying to discredit Nehemiah. You know, hey, come here. We need to talk about this. You know, we there's this rumor out here, and so-and-so says it's true that you're going to become a king, and you're going to protest, and you're going to start your own kingdom over here. And that wasn't Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a sacrifice. He put his own money in repairing that wall. He gave his own time in repairing that wall. It wasn't him. I'll tell you the one thing for me, and I've said this before. I'm not going to respond to Facebook, and I'm not going to respond to blogs. If people want to talk about me, I don't have time to deal with that. And that's what Nehemiah is sitting here saying. I'm not going to come down and deal with that. You know, I have this thing when it comes to Facebook and all that kind of stuff, guys, just so you know, don't get in those discussions. I'm just going to tell you, don't get in those discussions because it's not going to change. And if I get down on their level, then everybody's going to say, look at that. I'm going to stay above. And people are going to, if they keep posting like that, somebody's going to go, something has to be wrong with that person. They're the one doing all the talking. But see, he had this chance. And I just want to encourage you, you need to realize, the more you try to do what's right, the more you try to follow God, the more the devil's going to come and attack. He's going to try to discredit you. It's amazing to see those comments and to hear those words and to think about those things. Don't let that stuff get in your way. He's going to spread rumors. Well, this church is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And those people are da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're da-da-da. And you want to. You ever hear things like that? Or am I the only one that hears things like that? You know, this organization and these people. See, God, you know, the devil wants to discredit us. I mean, just turn the news on and you can just see Christianity's under attack. And they're just trying to discredit Christianity. You need to know, I kind of laugh at it because I'm going to give you guys a hint. Just kind of give you guys a hint. In the end, God wins. All right? You know, the news can say this, and everybody can do this, and they can blog this, and they can post this, and the courts can rule this, and somebody can do that. But in the end, God's going to win. I can read story after story where they did the same thing. And when the trumpet sounds and when the things are done, guess who's on top? See, we need to see that. So don't get discredited. Don't let somebody discredit you. You know, no, I'm not going to discuss this with you. I'm not going to get involved in that conversation. I'm not going to go there. There's no need to go there. See, my thing about me on blogs and Facebook and all that kind of stuff, when somebody posts, you guys know me. If that doesn't fit my character, I hope, I. You know what? I give you guys credit for being smart. Am I wrong? You guys like that? Wasn't that good? Come on now. I give you guys credit for being smart. And if you read something about me that doesn't seem to fit, I'm hoping you're smart enough to know that, that ain't right. You know, after 30 years being here as your pastor, you should know me pretty well. Don't get involved in that garbage. Don't let them pull you aside. Don't get involved. He just said, I'm not even going to discuss it. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to go there. Forget it. And he let it go. So he's going to try to discredit you. And by discrediting, he's going to spread these rumors. And people are going to gossip. People are going to say things. And I can tell you stories about me that somebody comes up and says, hey, did you know da-da-da-da-da? I remember when I first got elected to the school board, there were some rumors about me being elected. I was the first one not born and raised in Salida to get on the school board in Salida. And you ought to have heard the rumors that went around. by some of the people. You know, I think some, I know who started some of them. I'm not going to go there, though. Yeah. But you know what? In the long run, who proves out? Yeah. The second thing he's going to do is, as he tries to discredit you, is he's going to try to get you to compromise. He's going to try to get you to compromise. You know, he wants to attack your integrity. It's called sin. Now, this is a major tool of Satan. You need to know this. This is a major tool of Satan, is sin. I've seen it again this week as I read about churches and pastors. You need to know, for me as a pastor, and I challenge all the men in this church, and you guys heard me say this over and over again, that we have to be above reproach, not just moral, not just ethical, but above reproach. I've shared this. I don't go into a woman's house if their husband's not there. I don't get in the car and I don't ride with another woman. I have these rules. I have these boundaries. I was reading this week in the newspaper, in one of the articles, as pastors, we read these blogs and things, and a pastor back in Florida had an affair. Been at his church 20, I can't imagine being at your church 20-some-odd years, but it makes me think I better guard my life. Yeah. And we need to guard our lives. And I challenge the men in the church the same way, you know, and that we need to guard our lives because he wants us to compromise. I want you to look at the compromise that they tried to get Nehemiah to make, to give you a picture. Later, I went to visit Semaiah, son of Deliah, the grandson of Mahatabal, who was confined to his home. He said, "Let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the doors shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight." I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me. They're trying to attack his integrity. Here's the picture I want you to have of what's going on here. They had a temple. And in the temple was a place that was called the Holy of Holies. Anybody remember who goes in the Holy of Holies? Only the high priest can go into Holy of Holies. You had to be the number one. You can't be just the priest, because all the priests had other duties to do, but they had a high priest who could go into the Holy of Holies. So this guy must have been a priest. And what he's saying is this: Nehemiah, you're somebody special. You've done this great work. You accomplished this great effort. Look at what you've accomplished, and they're trying to kill you. Let's go into the Holy of Holies, and we can hide in there while they're trying to kill you. Now, I want to make sure you get the picture. Just so you know how serious this Holy of Holies was to them, the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies was the high priest. Well, if the high priest went in there and died, what's going to happen? Who's going to go get him? So you know what they used to do? They would tie a rope around the high priest. Literally. Because if the guy died in there talking to God, they're going to drag him out because nobody wanted to go in and get him. You know? Serious. That's what they did. So that's how serious they took this place. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to get Nehemiah to compromise his integrity. You're not a priest, Nehemiah. You're not supposed to be in there. But let's go hide in there, because they won't go in there and get you for sure. You know, so we'll go hide in there and you'll be okay. They're trying to get Nehemiah to compromise. They're trying to get him to, you know, just, I'm just going to go hide. Now, I think it's easy to feel that way sometimes. Look at this work I've done. Nobody had did this. I had to come 1,000 miles to do this. Nobody did this but me. Look how good I am. Look how much I rally these people. Look how much I've accomplished here. Don't I deserve to be hidden in the Holy of Holies? Come on. Haven't I earned that right? I'm not a high priest. I've done this. I'm a good person. I deserve this. Nehemiah could have felt that way. Some leaders get that way. I get aggravated. You know what I get aggravated with? I was aggravating people yesterday. Some of you might have heard me out in the lobby. I think leaders in this church need to park along the wall out there. Hint, hint. That's our parking place. You walk out of here, you look where my wife parked, okay? Because who should get the best parking place in the church? Should the pastor? Shouldn't I have a nice reserved parking place right by this door here so I can just walk out of the car and open the door? Shouldn't I have that night? Come on. Don't I deserve it? I've been here 30 years. Haven't I earned it? Come on. See, sometimes we get the feeling that way. That I deserve. I've earned. I've worked hard. But I do it. I challenge. We had some workers here yesterday from Vacation Bible School, and I told the workers, you need to park in the back. One of them went and moved his car. Two of them didn't. And I'm going to keep riding them on it. Maybe I learned this because I one of the first jobs I had was JCPenney's at Florin Mall. When I worked at the mall, you know where they made me park? I had to park out in the boonies when I worked at the mall. You know, anybody have a job at the mall or any of those stores like that? And they make you park way out so the customers have the good parking places? I've tried to do this at school. I haven't got very far with it yet. Because I'm telling you, know, it's like I tell the secretaries, some of you have been secretaries and principals, you need to park out. Are we really customer-oriented as a school district? If we take, you know, somebody's got to get their kid 15 minutes, but they got to park a mile down the road. You know, some of the principals got mad at me. Because that's just my thing. You know what I deserve? I'm going to tell you what I deserve. I'm going to give you a whole thing of what I deserve as a pastor. When I get before God and everything, you know what I deserve? Nothing. You know what I'm glad of? Grace. That's what I'm glad of. But see, Nehemiah could have felt like, I've earned this. Yes, they're trying to kill me. I need a hiding place. What a better hiding place than that. They will never get me in there. They're trying to get him to compromise. I'm going to tell you, when you try to do something for God, Satan's going to try to get you to compromise. He'll compromise your vow. Oh, it's just once. Pornography on the internet. Lying. It's just a little white lie. None of us lie, right? We don't tell stories. You know, my fish. We need to think about how Satan tries to discredit us by getting us to compromise. And it's called sin. And he wants us to sin. And we need to see and reap and not fall into it. Look at this next scripture. Look how Nehemiah responded. Nehemiah 6:11. But I replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I like that. So here, we learn to say, oh no, right? What did we say? Can you guys say oh no again? You ready? Oh no. All right. Now we're going to learn to say, no, I won't do it. All right, let's do that. You guys ready? No. I won't do it, all right? Don't compromise. Don't give in to sin. Don't let him lead you astray. No, I won't do it. Oh, no, no, I won't do it. We got to stand the ground. And see, I want to encourage you. Satan is going to want to distract you. In this series of messages, I've really tried to make it clean that God has given a burning in your heart, that God wants you to do something. God does not save you to sit and warm these chairs, even though they're not metal anymore. Isn't this better than metal chairs? Yeah. You don't have to warm these chairs. God didn't create you to sit and warm a chair. God created you and called you into this place to do something. And we just got to have that burning in our heart. See, what is it that burns for you, that causes you? This whole series has been based on this. What's causing you that somebody's got to do something, and it might as well be me, that somebody's got to do something. You know, there's hungry people out there. There's girls wrestling with decisions about abortion out there. There's teenagers who are lost. There's adults who need love. What are we going to do? That burden that's burning. And it made him sit down and cry. Remember the story? How he sat down and he cried. And then he made his plan and he clarified his mission and he kind of organized things. And then he called the people to help him and he began this great work. And I want to challenge us. Easter's 1 week away, and we can change it. We can change it. We can change somebody's life. We can change our lives. We got neighbors and friends who need a life change. They're hurting. They're lost. Life is beating them down, and we can make a difference. We can change our life. Maybe I'm the one that's hurting. Maybe I'm the one that's beat down, and maybe that's you right now, and it can be different. And so I just want to look at this last little phrase here. It goes like this. I am not giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep finishing. I'm not going to give up. I've shared with you many times, and I've sat there talking with Dan just the other day again. I do not know why God called me to be a pastor. I have no idea. I know I'm handsome and I'm smart and all that, but I can't figure anything else out. Why'd you guys laugh when I said that? Am I fooling myself? Yeah. No, I know better than that. Yeah. But I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep moving. Look at what it says here. Nehemiah 6:15 through 16. On October 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after he had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. Remember, they had tried stopping him the whole time. They realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Now, can you guess what verses I circled there? Can you guess what part of that verse I circled there? Anybody got an idea? What would you circle there? Anybody? The help of our God. You're not in this alone, all right? You're not in the, you don't have to do this by yourself. God's given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you the power. He's going to equip you. He has shaped you, as our church teaches. You have spiritual gifts, a heart, ability, personality, and experiences that God wants to use. And see, God did that in your life, and God wants to accomplish that in your life. Don't get distracted. Don't get discredited. Don't get discouraged. The enemy fights. 52 days of fighting, 1,000 miles away. But he kept up, and he finished. And he finished. There was no donkey talking to him. There was no lightning that came down from heaven. There was no miracle that those walls popped up out of the ground. Just, it was work. It was effort. It was hard. It was a fight. It was a battle. And they fought the good fight. And they finished the course. And when they finished it, it was a God thing. As I read this, I go back to this church. And I come back and hosting that conference yesterday. This building is a God thing. Would anybody agree with me with that? This building is a God thing. You take 100 people that put up a building like this. Then you deal with the county, and they were gracious to us. I could just go on and on. It's a God thing. You have to say it's a God thing. Now, what are we going to do with it? That's my question. What are we going to do with it? It took us more than 52 days to build this, though. But we can change our world in 52 days. As a matter of fact, you can change the world in a week. Because next week is Easter. And we can change the world in a week. And so I want to challenge us. But I'm going to challenge you with this last verse here. Look at what it says. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. I have the King James, do not grow weary in well-doing. Because at the appropriate time, God will bless. I want to tell it, don't grow weary. We're going to be inviting, and you need to know I have invited people for the last month to Easter service. I've been everywhere I go. Some were with me over there on the Love Salida Day. I was inviting the people that we were working over at Love Salida. Hey, what are you doing Sunday? Come to church, Easter Sunday. Yeah. I was sitting there this morning. One guy came into the office this morning. Dan was here, and we were sitting there visiting. John came in. I don't know if you remember who John is, Linda. But he came in. He's sitting there and talking. One of the guys, old-time got Salida guys, and we're talking. I said, you need to come to church next week. He goes, oh, I think. I said, no, you're not going to think. You need to come to church next week. Give him a bulletin already. And he said, okay, him and his wife are going to come. We're going to see, but I'm going to keep inviting him. You know, we're going to see him this week. So I want to challenge you. You can change your world. You can change your life. It's in your hands. What's burning in you that you want to change? That thing that somebody's got to do something, that might as well be you. You got to do something. It's not going to be some bolt of lightning. It's not going to be some magical donkey talking to you or some walls popping up around you. It's in your court. It's in your hands. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Do not give up. Will you fight the good fight? I want to challenge you. You can change it in 52 days. But don't let Satan discourage you, discredit you, or take you down with rumors and gossip. Fight the good fight. And finish the course. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you're a gracious and merciful God. That in spite of who we are, our faults, our failures, you love us. And you're a gracious God. You know, as I'm praying, maybe you're here this morning and maybe Satan's been attacking you. Maybe you're battling some rumors or maybe you've been tempted to compromise. You know, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and maybe you're discouraged. that you want to change your world, your life, and there's a burning in you. I want to pray for you this morning. So if you're hurting, you're fighting the good fight, I want to pray that you don't grow weary. Would you just shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Yes, I see that. Yes, I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. I see it. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you send the uplifted arms and hands today. You know the battles that they fight, the circumstances and situation. We're all different. We're all unique. But Satan fights us at our weakest points. He attacks at the points that hurt the most, that hurt us and hurt others. Lord, I lift these up to you. You've placed in their heart your spirit. You've given them the spirit of truth, the spirit of power, the spirit of strength. So I ask you to encourage these as they fight the good fight. Inspire them, Lord. Strengthen them that they may stand the time of test and say, oh no, I will not go. To say, I will not give up. I will not give in. I will fight the good fight. Encourage and inspire. For the rest of us, Lord, help us be your people in this place. In the homes that you've placed us, in the communities that you placed us, in the jobs that you placed us, in the relationships that you've given us, Lord, let us be your tools and your instruments that bring glory to your kingdom. Lord, we look forward to the resurrection next week. We look forward to this place being filled with the hearts and lives of those who need you as much as we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.